not so sure. I think I masturbated when I was at least 6, if not 5. And of course, during that age, I hid it, which of course not that now I would masturbate when I had a party. No, but I wouldn't feel embarrassed to say, yes, I do.
Hi, and welcome to Middle Me, the podcast about Filipino female sex and pleasure after 40. I'm your host, Anna P. Santos. Sex therapist Dr. Margie Holmes quite literally wrote the book on Filipino sexuality. Her book, Life, Love, Lust, came out in the 80s and shattered the silence on sex and pleasure. If we're able to talk about sex and pleasure the way we do now, that has a lot to do with Dr. Margie showing us how. At 75, Dr. Margie looks back at her own personal journey of life, love, and lust. I get intimate with Dr. Margie as she shares what she knows about sexuality and, more importantly, what she knows about herself.
Dr. Margie, you're so liberal about talking about sex. It's just like, it's like you're talking about food. So, candid, delicious.
Yes.
Were you always like this? Did you always find it easy to talk about sex?
Okay, two things. Of course, when I was growing up and was 3 years old, I guess, or 5 years old, I didn't. And I'm not so sure. I think I masturbated when I was at least 6, if not 5. And of course, during that age, I hid it. Which, of course, not that now I would masturbate when I had a party. No, but I wouldn't feel embarrassed to say, yes, I do. But meaning that at 5 or 6, I would have been mortified if I had been caught and I knew enough to do it, you know, when the door was locked, et cetera, et cetera. So then I was, you know, I'm sure I had the messages that pleasuring yourself is not a good idea. However, I think because my parents were so strict, it backfired. Anyway, very early on, I learned to fight first within myself and then later with them. My excuse is, if I'm more mataray, is I had to fight more things when I was younger. I mean, I don't know if that's the reason, but, you know, I mean, but for things that were important, I didn't fight. For example, I've been married, legally married, 4 times.
You go.
And when I left my third husband, you know, my brother wanted me to stay with him because in his mind, there was nothing wrong with him. What was wrong with him is that, I felt he did not accept my daughter as much, you know, and of course that's no contest, you know, of course I'm going to leave you. But, you know, I was already almost 50 then. And my brother said, you know, I mean, why pa? I mean, you probably, I know you like to be living with someone, and who will get you now at 50 being married 3 times? But for me, that was so important because I wanted my daughter to feel secure in whatever home I had, not, you know, have to apologize or whatever. Anyway, so in a way, I guess I was lucky. What I guess I'm trying to say is some things I fought with a lot of anger because I wasn't sure myself if it was worth fighting for this. But some things I fought because I knew it was right. When I married my husband at 52, by then, you know, I had realized that I wanted to live a life of utmost fidelity because he's the only man I ever met who had a higher sex drive than me. And once when we got married, I remember crying and thinking, my God, is marriage going to be like this all the time? Because he was so horny, you know, and, you know, like you, I'm pretty horny myself, no, but that, my God, at 52 and he was 57, we were rabid, unfaithful philanderers, both of us, you know, so people thought the relationship wouldn't last. When you're a philanderer, you learn to lie. You know, you make the excuse that you don't want to hurt your partner. But okay, maybe that's true, but that's bullshit. And actually, if you do not tell your partner the truth, that is being patronizing of her or him. Mm-hmm. You know, you presume she can't tell the truth. Why? Because you're so special? Why? She could leave you or he could leave you. But going back, one thing we promise each other, and this has meant so much to me, although it has caused some pain, okay, considerable pain, is that we would never lie to each other, not even white lies. And, you know, it bit me in the face when we were just married. And of course, he was so romantic because it took us a long time to finally get married legally, which was important to both of us, if only because of inheritance issues. Anyway, we were just married, the height of romanticism. And at 52, I was still pretty hot, or very hot.
You're still so hot now.
That's something only a woman would say, because we love people more in their entirety. You see? Anyway, going back, which is also another cognitive thing I had to learn to accept. But I saw a really sexy girl passing, and I asked him, your old self, which was, yeah, you shouldn't have said that, would you sleep with that girl if you had the chance? And he said, yeah. And I was so hurt, and I made tampo. And he said, don't ask me a question when you're not ready for the answer. And of course, because we had just promised not to lie to each other, I had to accept it, you know? Okay, so I never asked, do I look fat in this? No, joke.
Dr. Margie, at this point, I'm wondering, how did your marriages influence your view on relationships and monogamy?
In my heart, I realized and wanted, not only realized, that I could love just one man for the rest of your life. Because even if you hear and you know you can love two people at the same time or even three, which I used to do, or I used to use, not as an excuse, because it was true, I think, but you know, when you want to love completely and totally, and want him to love you the same way, you cannot love two people, two men at the same time, at least not equally. You can still love two men, but not equally. And at that time, I wanted to focus everything towards my husband, and he towards me. We still have sex as much as we did before, but no, we have it much less. And it's still fantastic when we do have it, which isn't as often.
Dr. Margie, you enjoy your sexuality, desire, and being desired. Those are mostly emotional things. Our feelings don't always line up with the narrative of aging that says we're past feeling sexy and sexual. So I'm wondering, how did you reconcile those feelings, if you had any, with the physical aspects of age?
Here, I would think, remember, age is not just a number, it's a reality. But your reality does not have to be the same as another person's reality. One of the things you really have to accept is any physical limitation you have. I remember when I used to walk like a gazelle, or at least this is what my boyfriends, well, not all, two, my husband being one of them, that's why I'm still married to him, used to walk like a gazelle, and now I walk like a gimp, you know, I mean, a little bit. So I have a cane, which I use, but can you imagine, for a woman, well, me, who enjoyed being sexy, and now I feel I'm sexy only to my husband, or admittedly to other men, very older men, when I'm sitting down like on a plane, right? But can you imagine a woman who thought, you know, she had sex at her command. Now when I'm older, I know I don't. Fine, it's okay. But I think it took me a while to totally accept it. I accepted it intellectually, cognitively, but admittedly, it took me a while to accept it gut-levelly. No more loinly-like.
Coming up next, the pencil test for boobs. You know, when you put a pencil under your boobs and then it stays there? Well, that can be an indication that your boobs may be giving in to gravity. Dr. Margie shares how the pencil test was her own reckoning with age. And of course, her husband's erection comes into play in the conversation.
So up until I was 60, I passed the pencil test. And I remember a young girl telling me, you know, that, which is bad of me kasi sana hindi ko pinatol. A young girl telling me, well, you know, I passed the pencil test. And I looked at her, not naman coldly, but with a little saray. I was about 45 then. Well, so do I. You know, which I shouldn't have done. But now I find at 75, I haven't passed the pencils. I no longer pass the pencil test. I told my husband who loved me and kissed me. He said, oh, I hope he doesn't hate me. Maybe he won't listen to this podcast, but he loves you, so maybe he will. You know, when men get older, the angle of their erection changes. It's just a fact of life, like our breasts sag, no? So he said, so what? I'm no longer 90 degrees. I love him. I love him for that. Anyway, okay, so as you get, so what I'm saying, so what if you're older, your breasts, you know, are not as pencil, well, you know, A plus in the pencil test? Wear a push-up bra. So what if women see you? You know, there's a saying, you know, mutton dressed as lamb. It's an English saying, so you probably heard it, no? These are older women who try to look younger. Yeah. You know, but now I say, that is such an ageist saying. So what if you're older and you want to wear mini skirts and maybe your knees are not as wrinkle-free as they were? You're dressing for yourself. So shut the fuck up, you guys or girls who say, I'm mutton dressed as lamb. I don't care.
I think, you know, I love that about older age also. You just give zero fucks.
Yes, yes, yes. And maybe when you're younger, it matters more. I can imagine it mattered more with me. You're absolutely right. One of the best things about old age is that you give zero fucks. I love that.
Sometimes it's okay to have zero fucks, especially when it comes to what people think. Your journey of exploring your sexuality has been quite a ride. What were the lessons that stuck to you the most?
My therapist said when I wanted to leave my third husband, and next time, get married for yourself.
Is
go
that
ahead.
Advice that you would give other women? You should marry for yourself and not for
anyone. Oh, yes. I wish I had known that. This is one of the things you asked me a wonderful question in another interview we had. And you asked me that, what are the things you would tell yourself? And absolutely that. Marry for yourself.
What would you tell yourself, you know, thinking about Margie?
When I was young.
In your 40s. Yeah. What did you wish you knew then in your 30s that you know now?
Can we say what I wish I knew in my 30s?
Sure!
Because I think by 40, I had already married two husbands. So, you know, you're pretty. You're really pretty. Because when I was younger, I didn't think so. My sister looks mestiza. You know, foreign mestiza. My brother looks mestizo. And I was made to feel ugly, even by my mother, certainly, without meaning it. And I say this, you know, with the greatest love. She didn't mean it, but that's the message I got. And even my father, I looked like him.
Okay.
So he liked me for that, because most parents. So if you wonder why your parents don't like you as much as your brothers, it could be that you don't look like them, no? I mean, honestly, this seems to be a big factor. But anyway, even though he liked me, and I was the brightest, so even though he liked me for those two things, I think then the culture was mestizas were prettier. Huh? Fair skin, matangos ang ilong, hindi singkit ang mata, long eyelashes. I felt that then really, and really pretty horribly. In the first book I wrote, Life, Love, Lust, I put there, I'm amazed that so many Athenians remembered it when I said I was so unpretty that I was the only Mary Knowler that no Athenian ever lusted for. You know? Yeah. But you know what I learned? Yeah, it's kawawa. And maybe you don't know the feeling because you're so pretty, Anna. Oh. But no. I don't mean
no one this. Ever feels that they're pretty, Dr. Margie. I don't
know. Oh,
ever.
Really?
I don't
know. But really? Okay, but you know, in high school, so many of my classmates were being courted, even just a phone call na patago by other Athenians, and no one.
Oh.
Anyway, but when I was 40, I realized the world out there. I think even now, though I have met many Filipinos who say I'm cute, maybe they just want me to give a talk for free. Yeah, but foreigners like us more. And, you know, that's what I learned when I was nearing 40. So, kasi hoda, you Filipinos who don't find me. Anyway, that's what I would have told my, because it's a sad fact, because it's superficial and we convince ourselves that beauty is only skin deep, but it isn't.
I love it.
I love you
so much.
That was part two of our interview with the one and only Dr. Margie Holmes, sex therapist and OG sex goddess. Dr. Margie is still keeping it real about life, love, and lust. Even after all these years, our girl Margie is still rocking it. For so long, Filipino women have been told what to say, think, and feel when it comes to our bodies and our experiences of sex and pleasure. I hope that hearing stories like this of Dr. Margie will make you feel like Middle Me is a space where we can safely be our erotic but still imperfect selves. I'm Anna P. Santos. Thanks for listening to Middle Me, stories of Filipino female sex and pleasure after 40. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music, Google, Anchor FM, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.